Part 3. Major Pending Disputes in Chapter 11 Cases. Next, we'll quickly review the major pending disputes in large Chapter 11 cases the Troubled Company Reporter editors monitor day by day. Ivy Magnadero provides updates in the various disputes Lehman Brothers is involved in. Lehman Brothers won another round in the first week of July in the $8.6 billion battle with JPMorgan Chase Bank, as a bankruptcy judge refused to dismiss objections by Lehman against JPMorgan's claim. In a 15-page opinion dated July 3rd, bankruptcy judge James Peck explained why he won't strike some of the objections Lehman raised to the JPMorgan claim. The bankruptcy judge denied JPMorgan's attempt to strike two parts of Lehman's objection, saying it would be, quote, premature to throw out those objections. Judge Peck said the dispute was, quote, within the context of an ongoing larger multi-layered litigation concerning the net amounts that may ultimately be payable by these parties to one another. In its lawsuit, Lehman accused New York-based JPMorgan of helping to cause its 2008 collapse by demanding $8.6 billion in collateral as backing for loans. JPMorgan, saying it lent Lehman $70 billion around the time of its 2008 collapse, sued back, alleging it was deceived into making the loans. In April, Judge Peck told Lehman it cannot sue JPMorgan over transactions governed by so-called safe harbor law, devised to protect banks dealing with weak companies. By doing so, the judge took away Lehman's easy way of getting money from JPMorgan, or canceling its claims. Lehman has twice asked Judge Peck to reconsider. In February, JPMorgan said it would give Lehman almost $700 million to settle part of the lawsuit, though it continues to fight for most of its claims. In a separate $3 billion lawsuit, New York District Judge Catherine Forrest on June 5th ruled largely in favor of Barclays in the UK bank's long-standing dispute with James Giddens, the liquidation trustee of Lehman Brothers Inc.'s broker unit, relating to Barclays' 2008 purchase of the broker business in September 2008 after Lehman collapsed. Judge Forrest held that Barclays is entitled to most of the $2.05 billion in margin assets, overturning bankruptcy judge James Peck's ruling that ruled that the trustee was entitled to the money. The district judge, however, rejected Barclays' claim to $769 million in Lehman Brothers' customer reserve accounts and $507 million that it considered part of Lehman's required reserve bank account. Judge Forrest also ruled that about $2 billion in, quote, clearance box accounts at the Depository Trust and Clearing Corp will also stay with Barclays, affirming Judge Peck's decision. In a 59-page decision, Judge Forrest said the bankruptcy judge erred in superimposing, quote, terms of ambiguity on the final sale document called the Clarification Letter, which outlined the terms of the Lehman broker business sale to Barclays. The bankruptcy court fully understood the letter's terms. It just did not like them, said Judge Forrest. Mr. Giddens wasted no time, and on June 7th, 2 days after the Forrest ruling was handed down, took an appeal of Judge Forrest's order, which the order that upset the trustee's $1.5 billion victory in the bankruptcy court over Barclays. The trustee said he needs the money to pay hedge funds and other customers. Elliott Management Corp. on June 30th demanded that Mr. Giddens make an initial $3.2 billion payment to creditors. On July 6th, Barclays filed a cross-appeal of the same June 5th district court ruling. Barclays contends that the district judge erred by not awarding it an additional $1.3 billion. The UK bank, as of the June 5th ruling, has won as much as $5 billion, but now wants all of the remaining $1.3 billion in assets in dispute. As Tribune Company closes in on the confirmation of its Chapter 11 plan, news reports note that attention has been turned to the major litigation over the failed leveraged buyout of the media company that drove it into bankruptcy more than 3 years ago. In 2007, Chicago-based investor Sam Zell bought out the media company for $8.2 billion, turning the company private. In December 2008, faced with about $13 billion in debt related to the LBO, Tribune filed for bankruptcy in Delaware. A bankruptcy investigation turned up evidence that the LBO was tainted with fraud, setting the stage for creditor lawsuits. The litigation could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars for Tribune creditors. The current Tribune plan focuses on settling legal claims against lenders in the LBO. The plan would leave Tribune in the hands of an ownership group led by JPMorgan Chase, distressed debt specialist Angelo Gordon & Company, and hedge fund Oak Tree Capital Management. The plan would also allow creditors to pursue claims against shareholders who benefited from the buyout. Aurelius Capital Management LP and other creditors, who will be left with less than full payment under Tribune's plan, are counting on a big payoff from the lawsuit against large shareholder McCormick Foundation, other shareholders, Tribune leaders and former leaders, and professionals who advised on the LBO deal. These creditors are thus trying to convince Tribune to leave them with enough cash to pursue the litigation. On June 8th, JPMorgan, on behalf of senior lenders, agreed to hike up the budget for the litigation trust under the current plan version. Officials who will advise it will be paid $60,000 a year instead of the $25,000 in the original plan. Tribune has also agreed to get the litigation trust started with a $20 million loan. In return, Tribune's unpaid creditors agreed to drop protests over an estimated $72.3 million worth of legal fees and expenses that the company will be covering for attorneys for senior lenders, lenders on a bridge loan, and members of the official unsecured creditors committee. Judge Kevin Carey said he might issue a written decision of the Tribune plan in early July. Robert J. Rock of Alex Partners LLP told a New York bankruptcy court in June that Tronox Incorporated was insolvent following its 2005 initial public offering. The expert's testimony was offered in the lawsuit Tronox commenced against its former parent, Kerr McGee Corp. and Anadarko Petroleum Corp. over legacy environmental liabilities Tronox says sent it into bankruptcy. The trial on the case kicked off in mid-May 2012 in bankruptcy court. The judge is reportedly trying the case without a jury. Mr. Rock also said Kerr McGee employed flawed practices for setting reserves for possible liabilities, which caused understatements in Tronox's environmental and tort practices. The lawsuit alleges that when Kerr McGee spun off its chemical business and paint pigment plant into Tronox in 2006, the parent imposed on Tronox 70 years of legacy liabilities that include environmental remediation and retiree litigations. The more profitable oil and gas assets of the parent were acquired by Anadarko 3 months after the spinoff was completed for nearly $17 billion. The U.S. government seems to agree with Tronox, saying the deal was, quote, a two-step fraudulent scheme in order to transfer assets to Anadarko, where they would be out of reach of future creditors of the defunct chemical firm. Lawyers for the U.S. government estimate the value of the assets transferred at nearly $15 billion, plus an additional $10 billion for interest and appreciation. Tronox has said its former in-house counsel, Roger Addison, knew of the fraud that led to the bankruptcy filing. Anadarko has denied the allegations, arguing that the separation of the chemical business from the oil and gas assets was done to maximize shareholder value. Reports note that Tronox's lawsuit has lopped $2 billion off the market capitalization of Anadarko. In the week before the trial began, bankruptcy judge Alan Grouper ruled that Anadarko is not a proper defendant in the lawsuit because it maintained Kerr McGee is an isolated business unit. Now Tronox and the U.S. government are only going after Kerr McGee and related businesses, which are nonetheless owned by Anadarko, for recovery in connection with the spinoff and liabilities. The litigation trust pursuing the case on behalf of Tronox is represented by Kirkland & Ellis LLP. The defendants are represented by Wheel Gotsolomangus LLP, Bingham McCutcheon LLP, and Klee Tuchin Bogdanoff & Stern LLP. Former secured lenders to affiliate Tusa Inc. are asking the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit an in-bank hearing on their request for reconsideration of a May 2012 decision by the appellate court, which held that the banks received fraudulent transfers exceeding $400 million. On May 15, 2012, a three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit overturned a district court decision, which forcefully quashed a bankruptcy court ruling to avoid, as a fraudulent transfer, a $400 million settlement and loan repayment by the parent company to a group of lenders referred to as the Trans-Eastern Lenders. The Tusa parent settlement and loan repayment was funded with the proceeds of new loans, which were secured by guarantees and liens granted by subsidiaries who were not liable for the original loan. In the request for rehearing, the lenders claimed that the bankruptcy judge wasn't entitled to make a final ruling on a fraudulent transfer claim in view of a decision 1 year ago by the U.S. Supreme Court called Stern v. Marshall. The lenders argued that the district court wasn't obliged to give any deference to the bankruptcy judge's opinion. The lenders also seek rehearing on a second ground, focusing on the fact that they didn't receive liens that were the fraudulently transferred property, but they received cash from Tusa to pay off existing loans the home builder company paid. That concludes part 3 of the report. The report continues in part 4.